Welcome to the Andy Stanley Leadership Podcast, a conversation designed to help leaders go further faster. On today's podcast, we'll talk about one of the most important aspects of the life of a successful leader. And Andy, as we kick off a new year on the podcast, I can't think of a better time to talk about today's topic, and that's the priority that family should take in every leader's life.
Yeah, Lane, this is a big topic because as leaders, we all feel the tension between work and family, and especially leaders who are leading organizations. You know, you love your organization, especially if you started the organization like we did. You love it. You love your family. And there's just a tension. So what I wanted to do today is not so much talk about the balance. We've talked about that before. There are four things that Sandra and I have learned through the years that have been extremely helpful to me as a leader, not just a parent and not just work and family balance, but as a leader of an organization. So I wanted to share that with our audience today. And as you said, it's a great topic as we start a new year. We've been married 25 years. We've got our two sons are in college. Our daughter's a senior in high school. So we are at the edge of that empty nest season,
right.
And we're looking forward to it. We're still in love with each other. We feel like we can speak with some authority on this topic, especially for our listeners who have kids at home and they feel like they're going to be at home forever. You know, as Sandra says, and I love the statement, she says, you know, the days are long, the years are short. And it's true. The days do feel long, but wow, the years feel short. So these are four things we've learned. And I love talking about these things, but I thought it would be, again, a great way to kick off our year.
Andy, before we get to those four things, one of the things we talk about on the podcast is vision and wins. I know that you and Sandra established a couple of wins for your family a few years ago. Share those.
Yeah, actually, it was 20-something years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. she was pregnant with Andrew. We were on our way on vacation, you know, the reality of that, hey, we're about to have a child, you know, for our parents out there, you remember the fear. And so we were driving to Hilton Head, South Carolina for vacation with her family. And I said, you know what, let's set some family goals. And I'm not a big goal setter. And so we had a great discussion and we landed on two things. And they really are more wins than goals. But they really set kind of the direction for everything that we did. And it sounds crazy because you think, yeah, people set these goals all the time, but did they do anything with them? I'm here to tell you 20-something years later, these two statements really became the North Star for just about every decision we made. And the two things we decided, the two wins were simply this. Number one, to enjoy being together when our kids are gone. She's pregnant with our first child with Andrew, and we decided, hey, let's make decisions that ensure that we are going to enjoy being together once our kids are gone. And this is before we had our first kid, so we were way out ahead. And the second win or the goal was for our children to want to be with us and with each other when they have the freedom to do otherwise. That's what we wrote down, that we want our children to want to be with us and with each other when they had the freedom to do otherwise. And this really came for me from watching her family, because she has a brother and a sister, and her family has always loved to be together. And as I saw that, I thought, that's the win. Hopefully everybody gets educated and everybody, you know, is a responsible citizen. But the whole idea that everybody in her family didn't simply have to be together because here comes Easter and here comes Christmas and, you know, and Thanksgiving, but they want to be together. And so those were our sort of the guiding principles for everything we've done in our marriage and with our kids, that we want to do what we need to do to ensure we want to be together and enjoy being together when they're gone, and to do what we could to ensure that they want to be together and want to be with us when they're old enough to have the freedom not to be. And we're experiencing that. This summer, we took our kids. One of my dreams was to take my kids to Jerusalem and to Rome, not the Holy Land, just the city of Jerusalem, not Europe, the city of Rome, and to connect those two dots for my kids as it relates to our faith and so many things that happen in the world. And so we had about a 12-day trip with just the five of us, again, two college kids, a senior in high school. And it was just wonderful. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be with us. They didn't want to invite friends. And, you know, to some extent, I felt like Sandra and I put a check in that box that, hey, at this stage anyway, you know, we're seeing the reality of that. But it's 20-something years of decision-making, and that's what I wanted to talk about today.
All right, Andy, well, let's dig into these four principles that really have helped get you and Sandra to where you are today. The first one
is don't give up what is unique to you for something someone else will do.
Yes, and it even rhymes. Don't give up what's unique to you for something someone else will do. Somebody, and we know this, but I'm telling you, we just need almost a daily reminder. Somebody else is going to lead your company someday. Somebody else is going to sit in that chair. Somebody else is going to have that office. Somebody else is going to have your territory. Somebody else is going to manage those accounts. Whatever you're doing professionally someday, you know, assuming your organization's still around, or that your industry is still around, somebody else is going to do it. So why would we trade what is unique to us? And the only things that are unique to us in terms of our role really have to do with our family. And here's something that some of you know, some of you are going to learn the hard way, some of you have seen this with some people around you. Your work relationships are not as deep as you think they are. They're just not. You think these are your friends. You think these are your lifelong friends. But I'm telling you, I've seen it so many times. A man or a woman leaves the workplace, and within 6 months, those relationships evaporate. You feel like you are important to your organization, important to your company. They can't do without you. They can. And one day they will. And here's the thing, and this isn't to be a downer. This is just a reality check. People that you thought were your friends, it's actually just a case of intersecting schedules is all it is. You know, your schedule, you're in a rhythm, an organizational and calendar rhythm with people that you see all the time. And so, you know, you're friendly, they're friendly, you consider them friends. But the reason you're so connected to those people is because your schedules intersect. And when those schedules stop intersecting, you're going to be shocked at how quickly those relationships end. Some of you have experienced this. If you get laid off, those relationships, they get laid off with you. If you retire, those relationships, they retire with you. So the whole idea of over-investing in really what are short-term temporary relationships to the neglect of the relationships that are unique to you, you know, what's going on at home, is a terrible, terrible trade. If you're a father, your only unique role in this life, your only unique role is being father to your children. And moms, your only unique role is mother to those kids. I mean, even your spouse can go find another spouse, you know, but you, your unique role has to do with those kids. So that's why I say don't give up what is unique to you, and don't sacrifice what's unique to you for something someone else not may do, but will do. So you work hard and you go home and you take your brain and your emotions with you.
Andy, one of the things I've heard you say that I love is that you said your greatest contribution to society may not be something you do, but someone you raise.
Absolutely. You know, I, as a leader, and for those of us who are geared toward leadership and progress, we think in terms of our goals, our accomplishments, you know, our purpose in life, our mission in life. What are we going to do? What difference will we make? What's our legacy? And those are all important things. I think about those things all the time. But the truth is, for some of us, for many of us, you know, the statement's true. Our greatest contribution may not be what we do, but who we raise. Because every great leader, every great industry leader, nonprofit leader was raised by someone, you know, someone invested in those men and women and set them up for the things that they've done in life. And we have benefited not simply from what they've done, but the fact that somebody raised them in such a way that set them up for success. So at some point, we have to begin looking at our kids and saying, okay, I'm here for you, not just to get you through, not just, you know, to shelter you and feed you and keep you safe, but what can I do to leverage who I am and the things that have come my way to set you up to do something significant in life? And for some of us, our greatest contribution won't be what we do, but who we raise. And so it's very short-sighted to think simply in terms of what we do in the marketplace as opposed to, you know, the people back at home.
So don't give up what is unique to you for something someone else will do. That's great. What's the next one?
The next one, and again, this is geared for those of us who are in leadership, and especially those of us who are in any kind of high-profile leadership, and that's this: to discipline with the goal of preserving your relationship, not your reputation. To discipline specifically your kids, discipline your kids with the goal of preserving the relationship and not your reputation. Now, again, I don't know what percentage of our listeners this applies to, but to some extent, to every parent, because we take our kids' behavior personally, and it's very easy to get our identity all wrapped up with the behavior or the
Absolutely.
Performance of our kids. I've coached enough baseball to see the dads who just they just cannot separate their personal identity from their kids' performance on the field, and it would drive me crazy. It would just drive me crazy. In fact, I'll never forget, we had a game and, you know, two on base, my son Garrett's up to bat, you know, we've got to have a run, it's a tournament, if we lose, we're out of the tournament, and he's up to bat, and I'm standing on third base, you know, third base coach, and, you know, there's two strikes, and so I call timeout, and I call him over, so he meets me, you know, halfway between third base and first base, and, you know, there's so much tension, and of course, nothing is really riding on this game, but, you know, when you're in those moments, you know, the Absolutely, whole world's riding yeah. on it, and I called him over, and I put my arm around him, I said, Garrett, I said, if you strike out, I said, we're going to go get ice cream. We're not going to worry about it. All right. He just looked at me because I think he was expecting that. Okay, yeah. you know, you got to get on base. You know, yeah. we got to keep this thing alive. And I just wanted him to know, you know what? Our relationship is not riding on what happens next. And he just flat struck out. And we were out of the tournament. And he grinned and I grinned and life goes on. So
you went and had ice cream.
I won because, you know, my relationship with my son, right. he didn't fear, oh my gosh, my dad's going to be so mad. I just was constantly looking for ways to make sure that I disciplined and parented toward the relationship and not my reputation. And I tell you where a great example of this that I saw growing up, you know, my dad was pretty high profile pastor in the city of Atlanta. One day his assistant, his secretary, they called him back then, remember those days, came to him and told on me for skipping church, that I'd left the campus and walked down to the varsity. For those of you who are familiar with Atlanta, our church was downtown. I could walk to the varsity from our church. So I'd go down there and eat and just skip church. And so she told him, I saw your son leaving. So we get in the car that day, and he says, Andy, he said, Evelyn told me that she saw you and Louie Giglio, some of our listeners know who that is, saw you and Louie leaving church and skipping, headed down toward the varsity. So I'm sitting in the back seat thinking, oh no. He said, and I told her, you raise your kids, I'll raise mine. That's all he said. And I was just stunned. And now here I am all these years later, I still remember that conversation because it was kind of his way of saying, you know what, this is – my reputation is not my primary concern. And I think for those of us whose kids have the potential to embarrass us publicly or even put a dent in our reputation publicly – I think it's so important that we not allow that to interface with how we relate to them and specifically how we discipline them. So, you know, discipline with the goal of preserving the relationship, not your reputation.
Andy, in that same vein, I heard one of our young communicators, Justin Warner, last week, he shared this in his message. He said, when you cheer for your kids, are you cheering for their first name or their last name?
Wow.
You know, he asked that, who's their success really about? Is it about them or is it about you?
Yep.
So number two is discipline with the goal of preserving your relationship, not your reputation.
Yep.
What's number three?
The third one has to do specifically with marriage, and that's simply this, to prioritize your marriage on your calendar. You have to prioritize your marriage on your calendar because in the work world and in leadership, everything's calendared, everything. I mean, you know, I calendar exercise. It's all calendared. Then when we get to the, you know, the intensely relational side of life with our kids and our marriages, there's some calendaring because, you know, I have to calendar things, you know, performances at school and ball games. But when it comes to my relationship with Sandra, if I wasn't careful, she wouldn't be on the calendar. And so I learned way back, prioritize your marriage on your calendar.
So, for example?
Well, you know, I have lots of friends like you do, Lane, who calendar a date night with their wife. And when I was single and I would hear about, you know, married couples, you know, calendaring date night, I'm like, are you kidding? We're going to have a date every night, you know? And then, you know, you get into the real world and you realize, hey, 3 weeks have gone by. We've not had an adult conversation, right. You know, once you have kids. So, calendaring a date night for Sandra and I, every single year after we started having kids, we scheduled a two to three, sometimes four night trip away for just the two of us. And now I just thought this was common sense. But again, you know, in the world of Little League Baseball, we were always shocked at when we would announce, hey, we're going to miss the next couple games or, you know, we're not going to be here next week because Sandra and I are going off. Every time we would announce that, and we were with the same families in some cases, you know, two or three seasons. There would, you know, it would be deer in the headlights. They would look at us and they would say, just the two of you? You're going off just the two of you? And we heard on multiple occasions, we haven't had a trip alone since we had kids. We haven't had a night alone or we haven't had a night away since we had kids. And, you know, these kids are 11 and 12 years old at this point. And So what seemed like common sense to us is apparently not common sense. And so we scheduled a trip for just the two of us every single year. And we've always done that. And it wasn't easy. And when the kids are little, you know, if you get on an airplane, there's so much stress about leaving your kids. I mean, we felt all of that. This wasn't easy for us. It was in some ways a discipline, but I'm telling you, it was an extraordinary important time. It was something that was light at the end of the tunnel. You know, we calendared it. And again, those kind of things don't just happen. That's different than a business trip. That's different. Hey, honey, do you want to meet me in San Francisco? You know, I mean, those things can work out as well. But again, we were very intentional. But my point is, you've got to prioritize your marriage on your calendar. I have talked, as you have, Lane, to so many men through the years who will sit in our office and tell us how they feel about their kids and how they feel about their wife, you know, and I love, and I would say, look, you love your wife and your kids in your heart. They can't see your heart. Mm. You're not loving them on your calendar. So if you're not loving them on your calendar, they don't feel love. So it doesn't make any difference how you feel.
Right.
You've got to calendar this. So again, this is going to look different for different people, and it's going to look different in different seasons of life because, you know, we'll talk about that in just a minute. So, but the main thing is look at the calendar, and if your wife isn't or your husband isn't on the calendar, then there's probably a gap. And again, this is especially important for leaders because, you know, we never check out. We don't punch a clock. We're responsible 24/7, and we have a tendency not to simply carry work home. We just carry work with us everywhere we go. So again, that was something. And if Sandra were sitting here, she would tell you that was the thing. That was the thing that probably made as big a difference as anything to preparing us for this season we're entering into, where it's really just the two of us. I mean, once your kids start driving, they're gone, and Allie's a senior in high school, and she's busy, and you know, it's just a lot of Sandra and I together. And fortunately, you know, we're enjoying that.
To your point earlier, it makes sense because you initially set out the goal of we want to enjoy each other once the kids are gone.
Right, and we knew that if we didn't calendar each other, then we've all seen this. In fact, some of our listeners right now are thinking, you know, too little, too late.
Right.
You know, I wish I could go back and remake some of those decisions. We knew to set us up for a successful future, there had to be some steady plotting, just blocking and tackling. It's a flywheel principle. You just keep pushing and pushing and pushing to keep those relationship, to keep that relationship not alive and together, but healthy. Because the goal, again, our goal was not that we would be together. Our goal was that we would enjoy being together. And there's a big, big difference. I say all the time, I do not want to have to be committed to marriage. I want to enjoy my marriage. And the decisions we make along the way determine whether it just becomes a commitment, you know, we're just going to stay together, or we want to be together. And again, scheduling is a big part of that.
Landy, you schedule a trip, you know, once a year. Anything else you schedule maybe more regularly?
Yeah. The other thing that we do in our network of churches, we have, we call them community groups, and they're groups that meet in homes 3 to 4 times a month with people in the same season of life to talk about life, to study together, to pray together. And so our community group was a priority through every season of life, through all the sports, through all the diapers, through every season of life. Our kids saw us gather in our home with, you know, friends that changed, you know, from season to season, and to do life together. Now, this is a huge deal because, you know, the kids had to be quiet. You got to do your homework by yourself. Don't come downstairs. This is mommy and daddy's time. And our kids saw us prioritize our relationship in those weekly meetings in our small group. So it was good for us. It was an investment for us. But I also think it spoke volumes to our kids about how important it was for us as we prioritized our relationship. So again, everybody's different, every family's different, but you've got to schedule it. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen.
And you said that as time goes by, this kind of changes. And
yeah.
I know that's what number four is about. Talk about that one.
The fourth thing I would say is this: learn to say no for now, but not forever. Learn to say no for now, but not forever. And what I mean by that is there are basically four seasons in family. There's pre-kids, little kids, teenagers, empty nest. I mean, there may be more, but that's basically it. There's pre-kids, little kids, teenagers, and empty nest. So one of the things you have to do, and that I think we did well because we got some great coaching up front, is we realized that in certain seasons of life, we needed to say no categorically to some things. But we remembered this is just a no for now. It's not forever. When we had our second child, I had a music studio that I had in my basement. And every time we'd move, I'd pack it up and put it back together. And when Garrett was born, I realized I need to say no to this for now, but not necessarily forever. So I sold all of my equipment. I got rid of something I loved to do. It was my hobby. But I realized there's nothing wrong with music. There's nothing wrong with having a music studio. But in this busy season, no for now, not forever. We homeschooled for 10 years. During those homeschooling years, Sandra said no to coffee and lunch and tennis with her friends. It was no for now, but not forever. Before we had kids, I traveled a good bit and spoke when I could, and Sandra would go with me. That was a yes, but it wasn't a yes forever. And we had little kids, and I almost went nowhere, and my job doesn't require me to travel, so I was fortunate. But I could have traveled. I had lots of opportunities, but we just decided for this season, no for now, not forever. Once our kids became teenagers, you know, they were gone as much as we were, or right. They were gone and we were there, and so I began to travel more. So as you look at the ebb and flow, you just have to, again, if you want to get to the point, to the place where you still love each other and your kids want to be together and want to be with you, you got to say no for now, not forever. And along those lines, I would say to our friends and our podcast listeners who have to travel, and I understand that, my recommendation, if Sandra were sitting here, she would tell you that perhaps during that little kid period, the thing that made the biggest difference, and it carried over into the middle school and high school years, is that when we were home, when we were all in town, which we were mostly during those years, we ate at home together. Hmm. Eating home, eating dinner at home around the table, I can't overstate the value of that, because the issue isn't food. The issue is the conversation that happens. Hmm. And there are conversations that happen around a table that cannot happen at a restaurant. They can't. And so to equate, well, it doesn't really matter where we eat because it's about eating. It's not. The dinner time, those minutes and those 20 and 30 minute stretches around the dinner table, consistent input there, again, it's extraordinarily important. So for our friends who have to travel, when you are in town, try not to eat out. Mm. I know it's easier, but again, there's an investment that's made there during that little kid period in those middle school years that's extraordinary. But again, that's a no for now, not forever.
And now that, as you said, you're on the verge of empty nest, yeah. You are getting to travel more.
Yeah, I'm saying yes to things now that I said no to, really, for a long, long time, for about 10 or 11 years. So again, it's when you're in the middle of this, everything seems like forever. As Sandra says, you know, the days are long, the years are short. So you say no for now, but not forever.
Well, Andy, as we wrap up this important topic, any final thoughts for our podcast listeners?
Yeah, again, specifically for those of you who are in leadership, nobody at home should feel like they are competing with somebody at the office. Mm. Nobody at home, whether it's your kids, your spouse, should feel like they're competing with somebody at the office. And anything you can do to unearth that tension, or to recognize that tension, or to acknowledge that tension, and to do whatever you can so that people don't feel like they're competing. And again, our spouses understand, our kids understand, we all understand crunch times. We understand, you know, when the industry that we're in requires more of our time and attention. But anything we can do to reduce the stress so that nobody feels like they're having to compete with someone at the office, that's going to set you up for success. And at the end of the day, regardless of what you said as your goals and your wins for your family, I can promise you this, you are going to want to be with your spouse when your kids are gone, and you're going to want him or her to want to be with you. And the win for family is not simply that everybody's educated and a responsible citizen, and you know, nobody had to go to rehab and nobody had to go through all the big things that people go through. Hey, sometimes those are a means to a very important end, because the end is that your family and your kids want to be with you and they want to be together. There are far more adult years than child-rearing years. So if you get those early years right, there are benefits that will last for the rest of your life.
Well, Andy, thanks so much for taking this time with us today, and thanks to our audience for listening. To hear more from Andy on leadership, please visit andystanley.com.